Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. If you're a visitor or a guest, we're especially glad you're here and hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage you to look in the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards there to give you the chance to get to know us better and us the chance to get to know you better. Please feel free to sign the card and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members can use these cards for prayer requests or anything of that nature, too. Members and visitors alike, I'd encourage to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. It is a busy season beginning in the life of the church this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent. So I have a few announcements just to mark that change of season. Outside in the commons, you might have seen one of these brochures on the table. This is a calendar of all the events we have going on in the church during the season of Advent. We hope you'll take a look and be sure to mark some things on the calendar you'd like to participate in. And there are a few of those I need to make announcements about this morning. One is Sharing is Caring is actually next week. We'll drop off gifts. So Fran Lewis couldn't be here today, but wanted to be sure that you all know to bring your gifts tomorrow, and we will collect them after worship. You can see more about these announcements in your bulletin or in our online newsletter. Also, beginning this week, we will start a series of December lectionary lunches. This is for any of you who would like to do some kind of scripture reading as a part of your spiritual practice during Advent. Wednesdays at noon in the fellowship hall, join us for a brown bag lunch and talk about the week's lectionary readings or any of the scripture you've been reading during this season. You can see an invitation to that on our new blog on our website, so find out how ways you can join and participate in the activity of the church. Last of all, before I hand it off to you, I want to be sure that even as the seasons pass, we're still collecting pledge cards for the coming year. There might still be a few out on that table, and they have been mailed to you as well. So if you haven't yet returned your pledge to the church office, please do, and I'll be happy to give you one of these. Are there any announcements for you to share with the congregation? Yes, and Nell. Thanks, and Nell. Are there others?
Yes.
Thank you, Hilliard. Are there others? It is a joy to begin this season of expectation and looking forward to the God who is coming in Jesus Christ. Let us worship God. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
please stand? We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing ourselves for the days. For all who are weary and carry heavy burdens.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For the poor and the hungry.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For victims of violence and injustice.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For those who are persecuted because of your name.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For those who have no voice to sing your praise.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For the sake of the creation you love. Let us pray. God of grace, always faithful to your promises, the earth rejoices in hope of our Savior's coming and looks forward with turn at the end of all things. Prepare our hearts to receive him when he comes. For in Amen.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite our children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Come on down. You all are excited this morning. You're here quickly. Hi, come have a seat. So why are we all excited this morning? I think I know why. It's a special new season in the church. And you know what it's called?
Christmas.
Almost. I think that's why we're excited. What comes before Christmas?
I know what it's called.
You know what it's called?
I know what it's called, but I forgot.
Oh, it's okay. We put you on the spot here. Does anyone know what the season before Christmas is called in the church? Let me try one more thing. What's this up here? An Advent wreath. So it's Advent. You're right. So what do we do during Advent?
That's
okay.
You start your Advent calendar.
That's right. You start your Advent calendar. We're getting ready for Christmas. You're exactly right. We're excited because Christmas is coming. We're celebrating that God is going to be with us in Jesus. And Advent is the time that we get ready. So what are some of the ways that you're getting ready for Christmas? Are you decorating at your house?
Yeah, I already have a Christmas tree.
You already have a Christmas tree?
And it also has a Death Star on top of it, and it can play music.
A Death Star that plays music on top of it. We'll all have to come to your house and see. Maybe we're excited for Star Wars coming out. I don't know. Let's put our feet. What else are we excited about? Has anyone bought presents for someone they love?
Yeah.
Yeah, you bought presents for parents and brothers and sisters. We open our Advent calendars. We have lots of treats and good things to share. So I already told you, what's the most important thing we're getting ready for? What? Christmas, that's right. And what happens at Christmas? Yeah, we get to have snow. That'll be exciting. We're going to have Jesus come. We celebrate that time that Jesus was born and that we knew God so much better because God himself became flesh and walked among us. So think about some of the ways that we can be ready for God to come. It's not just buying presents and it's not just eating good things and being excited. What are some of the ways we can get ready for God to come visit us? Can we be kind to one another? Can we treat each other well? Can we help people who need help? That's great. Beyond all the things that we do and we're excited about, those are some of the ways that the church has always gotten ready for Advent. We remember all the people who God has come to help, and we do what we can to help them too. So maybe later in the weeks to come, we can all think about ways we can help, maybe through sharing presents or helping around with our families or our church or helping people in our community. So thank you for help setting the stage for all the folks out here to get ready for Advent too. Will you have a prayer with me? Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for Advent and for coming to us as Jesus Christ. Help us to prepare and receive the great gift of his love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. If you'll stay still for just a second while we say goodbye. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Listen for God's word. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 13. Jesus is in Jerusalem announcing to his disciples the signs of the times, the things that are to come to announce God's presence. From the Gospel of Mark, listen for God's word to you. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, be near to us in your word. Through the struggle of life and the pains of the world, give us hope for what's to come in Jesus Christ and the good news he brings. Amen. There have been lots of good news days in the past year, which actually means that the news has been mostly bad. Consider a quick review of some headlines from this past week. Shutdown of the United States government remains a real possibility. Other headlines review latest social media outrages and tweets. I'm sure you've heard about North Korea. For those who take the long view, there are happy headlines like demographers worry about an unexpected drop in fertility rate in 2017. And there are the most recent shocks coming from the sexual harassment scandals that now include formerly staid figures like Charlie Rose and Garrison Keillor, and even civil rights legend John Conyers, all of whose disgraces color our pictures of their long careers. Of course, there's news below the fold that's equally bad, just in a different way. From the New York Times' single-minded focus of post-war Japan on economic issues has led to an epidemic of the elderly dying alone. And a memorable one from earlier this year from the Atlantic wonders, have smartphones destroyed a generation? A war criminal at The Hague drinks poison in protest of an unfavorable appeal. It wouldn't be hard to find another story about a recent shooting event. We had one in Dalton this past week. The fast pace of news obscures important stories from around the world. The civil war and Saudi blockade of Yemen has left 20 million people food insecure. 7 million people are not sure where their next meal is coming from. Similarly, tragic conflicts have affected Somalia, South Sudan, and Nigeria, and have led commentators to call the resulting famines the worst humanitarian crisis since the Second World War, which is now the title holder from the previous title holder, the Syrian Civil War, nearing its seventh year, with 2 million displaced, hundreds of thousands dead. This week also included a visit to Myanmar by Pope Francis, whose presence was hoped to slow the killing of the Rohingya Muslim minority there. If these crises seem remote, consider the New York Magazine's bombshell feature on climate change from earlier this year entitled "The Uninhabitable Earth." It begins, "If your anxiety about global warming is dominated by fears of sea level rise, you are barely scratching the surface of what terrors are possible even within a lifetime of a teenager today." Now you're all paying attention. I promise that my intent is not to depress you. I assume if you've been following the news, you are already depressed. But maybe there are signs of hope hidden in the depths. Maybe we haven't sifted through the news carefully enough to find the signs of the God who is appearing to us. And Karl Barth's advice to preachers was to preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. So my assumption about this advice is that the good news necessarily flows from one to the other and not vice versa. Actually, the message of Advent is that hope does come from something totally outside the ordinary course of events and news and cycles of wars and rumors of war and earthquake and famine. The basis of our hope is not within creation itself. Something is obviously not right, and it is going to change. But that change is going to be totally beyond our capability to bring in. Henry David Thoreau said, "Read not the times, read the eternities." I don't know if he meant New York Times. The eternities suggest that this sort of thing has happened before. At the time when Jesus was born, the Jewish people had been conquered several times. And despite rebuilding their temple and the promise of God's presence and favor, the Greeks came and then the Romans, and they set up backwater bureaucrats like Quirinius and Pontius Pilate, who were too far away from Roman centers of power to be happy about where they were. And so they worked with disdain towards the people they governed. And they set up puppet kings like Herod, whose insecurity about his own position led a star to take him to Bethlehem and kill all the infants he could find. Messiahs regularly rose up to bring violence against political powers, only to fall down quickly and take innocent lives with them. It was a terrible and dangerous time. Taxes were high. Tax collectors, who were often the bad guys in the Bible, made their money by taking more than they were supposed to collect. And so the poor suffered especially. Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious officials who were meant to safeguard and teach the law with its provision for the poor, were cowed enough by the Romans that they didn't want to speak out about the trouble around them. So when the people of Jesus' day prayed for a Messiah, they meant it. The world was not as God had promised. The world was not as it was meant to be, and that was the world that Jesus was coming to save. In the Gospel of Mark, there is no Advent or Christmas story. There is no build-up to draw on the people's need for a Messiah. Mark assumes that we know enough about the world to know that it's not how it should be. In Mark, Jesus appears to John the Baptist, ready to be baptized and begin his ministry. He goes out into the wilderness, and a few lines later, he's preaching around the people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent is an interesting word in the New Testament. It actually means turn around. Turn away from the injustice and pain of the present. Turn away from your participation in it. Turn away from the hopelessness of the news and turn towards God, because that's where our salvation comes. The kingdom of God is coming. So I said before that times around Jesus' birth were bad enough that this message would have had some resonance. The people he was preaching to later in life, they were ready for anything else. They read the news. Things would have been bad at the time Mark wrote this gospel too, some two generations after Jesus. Most think that this was a time when the temple in Jerusalem had finally been destroyed for good. The Roman authorities decided to scatter the Jewish people throughout the empire to the four winds. Everything these people had ever been told about the world, that they were a special people beloved by God, that God's presence was most fully realized in the temple, that the Messiah would come to correct the injustices of the world, all of these hopes had been shattered against the cold reality of the news. These are the people to whom Mark is speaking. Mark is the street preacher of all the gospel writers. He'd be the person walking up and down Thornton Avenue with a sign on his back saying, "The end is near," or "The kingdom of God is near," or like what Jesus says, "Keep awake, for you do not know when the master is coming." Jesus has made it in our story to the temple in Jerusalem, to this place where the reader knows will be destroyed. And Jesus is only a couple of days from his own end, and so he tells the disciples what this end will look like. It will be as if the stars are falling from heaven. That's what it'll be like at its worst, that the cosmic order has been interrupted. At the worst time imaginable, that's when God is coming. And there's an old word for that phenomenon, disaster. It means that the world has been de-starred. Stars are coming out of heaven, or at least the world has turned on its head, and so everything seems upside down, and there's no solid ground for us to stand on. It's like we're over a void. It means the things that we as people in this society once took for granted as regular and ordinary, things like rules of decorum and respect in public life, or a functioning political system, or a continually improving country, or a church that could never decline and fail. Once these things start to show cracks, and crumble. Maybe our assumptions about the world are false. And then what do we believe about God? Maybe we're like those first century Jews who started to lose confidence in what the world was supposed to be. What else that we have assumed is true is actually false. So this kind of disaster, this falling from heaven, it happens in our own lives too. It happens when relationships and friendships and marriages end, even after 20 or 30 years. I've heard people describe this sort of thing as feeling as if they've lost a limb, part of themselves. That's when God is coming. This is what happens when you lose someone you love. It's easy to forget that this time is often the hardest time of year because here you're about to get Christmas cards of all the families you know sending a perfectly curated picture of a happy, stable life that isn't the sort of thing that seems helpful or attainable when your world has been turned upside down by grief. That's when God is coming. This is what happens when you take your health for granted and all of a sudden something has changed. This is what happens when you lose a job or even if you retire and things that were once solid and stable in your life all of a sudden are gone and it seems like you're living without guardrails. That's when God is coming. When the world is going well, maybe we can feel like we can conquer some of these obstacles on our own. But then when everything else around us seems to be falling to pieces, that's when we need a Savior. That's when we recognize that the only alternative is to do what Jesus says and keep awake. Look for the signs. Because that's when God is coming. When the world turns upside down, we look for something to hold on to. And Jesus tells us just what it is. He says, heaven and earth may pass away, everything you know may pass away, but my word will stay. My words will not pass away. Those words are the story of faith. It's the promise of God's presence with us, even in the darkest and most difficult times in our world and our lives. God's word is the one thing that appears as solid ground in the midst of watery chaos. Because the only thing that will save us is the God who is coming, even now. And that's good news because it's the only thing that can save us. It is the promise of God. This is true even in the worst depths of pain and evil. Rabbi Hugo Grin wrote of his childhood experience in a concentration camp in the 1940s. His father was an Orthodox rabbi and continued to observe festivals and the Sabbath day, even in captivity. Grin remembered one Sabbath when he saw his father take a little bit of butter and put a string in it as a Shabbat candle. He lit it. And Hugo couldn't believe his eyes. He cried out, "Father, this is all the butter that we have." And his father said back to him, "Without food, we can live for weeks, but we cannot live a minute without hope." What do we do when we see the signs and we wait for a Savior? We light a candle for hope. Hope does not disappoint us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In trust of the God who is coming, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In gratitude and thanksgiving for all that we have received and for the promise of God that is before us, let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. You may be seated. Through the difficulty of life, through the pain of the world, God provides bread for the way and grace for all who need it. So come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and Jesus Christ will meet you at this table. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks, God of creation. From the beginning of all things, you made a world and filled it with your children. When people turned aside from you, you called prophets to lead them back in your way. You led Abraham, the father of nations, into your friendship. You led the children of Jacob out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land of covenant love. You created a people, Israel, so that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. For so great a love, for so great a promise, we join our voices with brothers and sisters gathered around your table throughout the world and gathered around your throne in heaven above, who sing to the glory of your name. Blessed are you, Holy God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, who in the fullness of time took on flesh, a light to the nations, good news to all people. Through his birth and life, his death and resurrection, through his reign on high, we confess him Lord of your creation and all your people. We thank you for the gift of his Spirit, who calls us into this community, who unites us in Christ's body, the church, who gathers us to this table to share in the life of Christ our Lord. Remembering your great and loving kindness, we take this bread and wine from the gifts you have given us as we celebrate with joy the hope that all people share in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Accept our sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving, especially on behalf of those who have no bread to share, or those who throughout the world are strangers to your covenant love. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Teach us to give as it has been given to us, to love as you have loved us, and to recognize the humanity we share with all our brothers and sisters, the humanity we share with Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his holy name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, this season we remember the coming of your Son and look for the time when we share this meal in his presence in your kingdom. So come now, Lord Jesus, unite us as one by your Spirit, that fed with this food we would go out bearing your image to the world in the hope that you are coming even now. We pray through Christ our Lord, who is with us in that Spirit, teaching us to pray as he teaches all his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do not read the times, read the eternities. Jesus Christ is coming, even now. So go out into the world with his hope, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.